This is the Tave Over Rugby podcast.
Okay, Bulla, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the TaveOverRugby.com podcast. I'm Carlton Kamea, and while England has the man with the golden gun, Fiji has the man with the golden voice, and it's my honour to be interviewing this afternoon the legendary Fiji rugby radio commentator, Mr. Graham Eden. Graham, over to you.
Well, it's a matter of over to me. Well, where do you want me to start? What do you want me to tell you? What, where and how?
Yes, certainly, Graham. It's a pleasure for many people who have heard your voice over the generations, over the years, to finally see you on camera. And we thank you for this interview today, Graham. And I just wanted to say that you've commentated from grounds all over Fiji, which many people have not been to. Like I remember the Nalawai ground up in Naitasiri, the Theodore Park in Vatakola, Subrail Park in Lambasa, and you've done calls for radio commentating from all over the world, and that's before the rugby even started. But many people don't know much about you, Graham, apart from your voice and rugby on the radio. So if you could please just share a few notes with us or points with us about how where your life before rugby commentating in Fiji.
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough. I think I was once a school teacher in Christchurch, and it was the current boss of Kashmir High School, who said to me, "There's a prospect there of somebody going from Fiji, from Christchurch to Fiji," and I said, "What? How? What do we do to get there?" And ultimately, we put together a suggestion that I'd go to the headmaster at Kashmir High School, talk to him what he thought, and that guy was a big fellow in terms of his ability, and that he said, "Well, we'll go to the powers that be, and we'll see if we can get something for you." I found out during this, I thought, and learned that I had to be married to turn around and get anything like that. And rather quickly, in 1960, I was able to learn that I'd been given a job with a wife in
Fiji.
The days of Fiji's early times.
Yes.
And from there, I just feel now that I never stopped.
Right.
It was a wonderful opportunity of not only learning about Fiji, but it was more important to me to know more about the rugby of Fiji.
Right.
And that was, to me, was the commencement of being a school teacher in Fiji, based Super Grammar School. Yeah. Yes, and we had accommodation on the grounds, so one could spend a lot of time.
Yes.
in coaching, swimming, rugby, yes, cricket,
yes,
and then into other sports like the
athletics. Yes.
Yeah, the games like that, and I just happened to be part of it.
Yes.
Just forever.
Thank goodness you never went back, and you've stayed on here in Fiji. I didn't realize you also did swimming, but you did a whole range of sports, Graham, but I heard you were a very tough taskmaster with the Super Grammar School First 15. Do you have any memories of that, players?
Oh, I think we had a wonderful group of players. We had There was another person whose name escapes me at the moment. He stood back while I stood forward. It was all part of our hard work, but our it was pleasure and leisure.
and then, Graham, how did you actually get into rugby commentating? Did that come with you from New Zealand, or you just started up here?
No, I used to play rugby in Christchurch, New Zealand, and I had to leave that behind. But it was another New Zealander who was here in Fiji before me, also had a son my age limit, right. And it was, I was called one day to the education department here in Fiji, and was told that the person I'm trying to remember wanted and did go on leave, and they wanted somebody to talk about rugby when it was just once a week, at the end of each afternoon of sport. I had to sit down and somehow or other plough through the results of
rugby.
And then when it was out of season, it carried on into something else. And every Saturday evening after I'd played a game of rugby, I would get clean and tidy and present at 7:30 a sports roundup, it was called at that time. And that took us through the people who would write or call in and give us the results. Then I had to put it together. Then we had
a show.
We went forward from there.
Graham, we all learned, myself included, and all the other commentators, Howard Politini and all the other commentators who came behind, learned from you. So did you actually get trained, or you just taught yourself to get into the rugby commentating?
I think nobody else wanted to do it, and it was left to the dumb one to to take it on. And I thoroughly enjoyed what I was doing. I moved on from just the once a week until we got to 6 days a week after that.
Wow.
And there was a 7 o'clock, 5 minute, grouping of it. What do we call it? We used to broadcast sport every night while I was living at, actually by that time I was living down at Pacific Harbour.
Oh, okay.
I was at Pacific Harbour by that time.
Right.
And I would do it at 7 o'clock
over the phone,
and drive it home.
Wow.
And then back I'd come with school kids next morning.
Yes,
so and so we all had fun and we all had an enjoyable time.
Yes. Graham, you've called games live back to Fiji from all over the world. Some of the great stadiums of the world, Twickenham in London, Cardiff Arms Park in the good old days in Wales there, and Murrayfield in Scotland. Can you share with us any special memories of those grounds? You know, it's not easy to go and set up and commentate back home to Fiji, isn't it?
Well, I didn't find it very difficult, actually, as long as it was there were other people around who would provide the background noise of excitement. Obviously, the best that I think I ever knew was Twickenham, without a doubt. And then there were others that I went through, nothing beat Twickenham at that stage.
Yes.
Because, of course, at first it wasn't Sevens. Sevens never started until it was 1976.
Yes.
And that I wasn't the first person who went there, but he was one who said to me, why don't you go and get to see the matches that are on overseas?
Right.
And that was really what it started with. And then that was my beginning in in that
with the Sevens commentaries.
The Sevens, and I sat in the grandstand with people surrounding me, but nothing nothing as good as Twickenham. Nothing as good as Hong Kong.
Yes,
of course that was another wizard of a place, and. I must have done, I've forgotten exactly how many, but I must have done 40 different tournaments.
Yes.
In
Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong, it was, yes. It was. And I would always take a little extra time out. Right. And I, if I was in Hong Kong, I would go and do a trip across. And I remember to go to the Philippines from Hong Kong. I've been to a number of other wonderful
countries,
places,
yes.
And I could do 10 days extra and go and see what it was all about.
While you were in that part of the world.
While I was in that part of the world.
Yes.
And that gave me a breadth of understanding, a breadth of enjoyment, and a breadth of being able to watch other people also in sporting activity.
Yes. Graham, I just recall once we did the Sicily Sevens together in Catania in Sicily in the early 1980s. You know, as that was before the Sevens series. Would have been before the Sevens series. And, you know, just some odd places like that. Then they had a bit of a Sevens tournament in Sydney, but it wasn't until the HSBC Sevens series started that that we really got into Hong Kong. And I just want to, I'll just quickly turn to that. The Hong Kong Sevens. I say, Graham, that in my piece here, the notes that I put together, that Fiji really owes you a huge debt, of honor. Because I believe your commentaries of the Hong Kong Sevens, when it was 1976 to 77, right in the very early days, but you put so much colour and description of Hong Kong itself, the mystique of Hong Kong, right on the edge of China there. And it was, to us, a very strange place, but very similar, you used to say in your commentary, a little island, nation, like a colony of Britain at the time. And I really do believe that you set the light of Sevens alive here in Fiji, leading to the 2016 Olympic Games gold medal in Rio, because you made it so exciting that every Fijian rugby player wants to go and play for Fiji in Hong Kong. And no, thank you for that. I think it is a marvelous thing that you did there. I remember your call for that famous try when Waisele Serevi tipped the ball. I think Vesi Railuni did an underarm throw-in, Serevi over his head.
He picked it up off the bounce.
Yes.
And bounced up
and
there.
And tapped it over.
And I almost cried because I yelled out, put the bloody thing under your arm. and he still went like that,
yep.
And was a marvellous try.
Yes.
But I was so worried because it was so close.
Yes.
Of a finish.
Yes.
But he did manage to get the ball down without dropping it, without knocking it on, and on that basis, it certainly resonates right around the world.
Yes.
And lots of people photographed that, those who could be quick enough. The way in which he did it. It was something mighty, something he'd never forget,
yes.
And certainly something I wouldn't, and not again would I see it again.
Graham, just to talk about the teams in Hong Kong over the years, compare some of them. There was the great era of Waisele Serevi, with Nandruku, Ndere, Rasari, and those names in the 1980s. They won that in the 1990s, or rather, early 1990s, 92, 91, 92, and 93. They won the treble, and with under Tukiti, and then Wayne Pivac's team, mm-hmm. which won the 1995 Rugby World Cup Sevens, or 2005, sorry, and then Ben Ryan's Olympic team. Would you like to just draw some comparisons across those teams, those particularly those three?
I think that's a fairly hard one, a fairly tough one, from the point of view of all of them were what brought the spectators to it.
Yes.
That all those that you mentioned there are memoirs of some wonderful rugby, wonderful meeting of people, wonderful ability with the ball, and certainly Fiji with domination right throughout. And while I don't know how many we didn't win, we certainly had a bag full of victories. The reality was that it drew the public, and people would come from all around the world.
Yes.
Didn't matter where it was, there were people from almost every part of the world were at the Hong Kong Sevens, and people had to book ahead to be able to get a seat or a position.
Hotel, yes.
And a hotel, yes, there was a hotel there badly, a bad one.
Graham, so in the 1980s, it seemed like, an era where a decade where we really got to the finals, but just got beaten by New Zealand all the time. And I mentioned the names of Buck Shelford, Dallas Seymour, Eric Rush, Jonah Lomu, and of course Gordon Tidgins. Did you encounter him, and how did he come across to you?
Well, Tidgins was a specialist.
Yes.
And as a specialist, everybody had to do it as he wanted done.
Yes.
And I think it took him to a number of victories.
Yes.
It was no doubt about that without somebody as strongly
strong-minded,
expected,
yes.
And on the basis of that, he didn't last long enough
in the
centre field. But you should have heard him after the game, or you should have heard him at half time, on the times when he wasn't quite quite loud.
Yes.
he was a tough nut, that guy,
yes.
And no doubt about it.
And then Tukiti came along, Graham. You had time to meet and talk to Tukiti as a coach. How did he strike you?
I didn't think he had much to contribute to.
Yes.
No, okay. I think he filled a gap between those before him and those that followed. I didn't think that Tukiti was outstandingly. He didn't have quite the ability of those that were before or after.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So we'll leave it at that. And Graham, you have strong views also on William Ryder. A lot of people, think he was a brilliant player, but you don't.
And no, I didn't think he was a great player at all.
Yes.
I think he was a showman.
Yes.
That's how I judged him. Ability was flashy, and as a result, it wasn't consistent. He was able, I suppose, to appeal to the crowd, but it was just because it was a show. But if you go backwards, you realize that he lost a lot of ball.
Yes.
He could have scored more, but his showmanship was his strength,
and
a lot of people loved it.
Yes,
I didn't.
Okay,
but that's about. I saw him in those days, and I'd tell him so if I saw him again now.
Okay, Graham, thank you, and of course the great Waisele Serebi. Graham, he carried Fiji for two or three decades on his shoulders, and really, led the players, led the team. Would you care to sum up his time in sevens in Fiji, for Fiji in Hong Kong?
Well, if we didn't have him, we would never have been as successful in winning the number of matches that he was involved in.
Yes.
He had a knack of being able to move off either foot.
Yes.
He would move left or he'd move right, and inevitably it finished up and became a try. He wasn't the fastest player on the field, but his ability to sidestep was absolutely amazing, and to this day he would still be one of the outstanding people, and I think perhaps the top of the pops at the same time.
Yes.
Now, by doing that, that's where he got his glory from, and he got better and better until he got too old to be able to keep going.
Yes. He played on almost too long, but many good players do.
Yes, that's right, but he still wanted to be more, be able to contribute more and more.
Graham, I just want to run, I really want to get your views on some of the great players and, you know, in these positions. So I just want to run them by you, like an all-star 15s for Fiji. Do you think Severo Corondondor was our best fullback? Would you, Severo? No,
not at all.
Okay.
But he was a good, fullback.
Yes.
But the fullback of those very early days, like it almost seemed, he used to have a back that that turned back to be able to get that ball and get it to the sideline.
Yes.
And I can't remember who it was, but he lived in Lautoka.
Lautoka, yes. I'm trying to remember the name too. Almost there. I'll probably get it later.
Yes.
The wing, Senivalati Laulau.
Oh yes, certainly a. An outstanding player, yes. Laulau showed the way so often that he would be missed, or he was missed when he eventually gave it up.
And you recall Honda.
Oh, yes. nobody would ever forget little Honda.
Yes.
And that his juggling along, his sidesteps were little less than amazing.
Yes.
For a size and a weight of what he was. He was number one amongst the little group
of them. And Graham, his acceleration off the mark, that was what was made, you know, he got the nickname Honda because from a standing start, no one could catch him. He was just...
he had a good sidestep as well.
Yes.
He could move that way while going that way.
Yes. And centre, Sinatiki Nasabe.
Oh, yes, very good.
Great, yes.
Yeah, Sinatiki was very good. Never lasted long, though, did
he? Yes,
yes. No, Sinatiki. You're bringing back some wonderful names, you know, you've got there.
At inside centre, Wame Ngavindi or William Etani, who would you pick as better?
Ngavindi,
yes.
Yeah, Ngavindi in my mind. He really got the wings into positions, into angles, into the right positions to move it on.
Yes.
The ball
straight in the back line. Yes. That's right. That's where it all starts. Eh? And I have at first five Pio Bosco. Do you think Waisele Sarevi could have played more at first five for VG? In 15s?
No, I think he had had enough.
Yes.
I think he had had enough, and I think it's reflected in his tailing off of effort, and he probably knew that himself.
Yeah.
But everybody loved him, and of course, he scored a few good tries.
Graham, what about Nicky Little? He holds a few records with Fiji.
Yeah.
Good steady.
Gosh, you're bringing me back into the days of old. Nicky Little, yes, he was good.
Yes.
Almost very good.
Yes.
Yes, I'd put him in that category.
Yes. Very steady. Very reliable.
Sure of himself. Yes, he was.
And he'll kick your points. Yeah.
Very good.
You know, he'd give you 10 points a game just from his kicking.
Yes,
you need
yes.
Test match,
he was worth considering, certainly.
Yes.
Gosh, you've got me really thinking about some of these.
Graham, I want to throw up a halfback, Isimeli Mbatimbasanga. Has there been any better since then? you think? Paula Nawalu, maybe? Mosese Naulumu at halfback? No. Nothing. Basanga was class.
Yeah, I think you'd leave him at the peak, yes, of halfbacks.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think so. I'd put him there.
Yeah, and number eight, Meli Kurusaru of Nandrunga.
Oh, yes. Consistency was his, yep, his forte. Not always fast.
Yep.
There were other number eights who were faster than, yes, he, but he was clever, yes, and he was had a sidestep, yes, that got him there.
Yes. And the only other one I could think of was Asala Teleni in his heyday. He was very good, wasn't he?
He was
an outstanding
indeed.
Number.
Yes, he didn't last long enough, I think. That was perhaps his problem.
And at flankers, I know you're a big fan of Ilami Lutumailangi. Remember him for
well,
Nandi?
Who wouldn't? Ilami.
Yeah. Ilami, oh, yeah. Lutumailangi, yeah?
Yes, indeed.
One of the, you know, he was rated as the fastest rugby player in the world in his prime. When they came to tour New Zealand in, I think it was 1978 or 79. And Ilami Lutumailangi was just incredible.
Oh, yes, he was. He was outstanding. And he was even one of those who could go round the outside, pass, and go round the outside. And he might have even introduced that technique.
And he'd turn up outside the wing.
Yes,
you know,
yes, that's where
that's
I mean.
How fast
that's how
he
I
was.
Mean it. Yeah, sure.
He really was another, it was very, very special. And Vuata Narasia, very old-fashioned kind of flanker, but hard as nails and big man, very fast. With the locks, Ilaitia Savai?
Yes, well.
You rate him?
Yeah. Oh, yes. And of course, the captain of...
Tuisese,
that's yes. who I was after. Tuisese,
yeah.
He was
great, eh? Yeah.
He was outstanding, and he won many a game.
Yes.
For Fiji.
Yes.
At the middle of the lineup.
Yes. And the props, Graham, I've got here. You know, he just passed away recently, very sadly. Mosese Tanga. Would you rate him as one of your
good,
top players?
A good even player. I don't think he was anything outstanding, but I certainly think that he was often the boy who was needed to do it to score first.
Yes.
Yep.
And I put here Nimolote Ratundina. Would you rate him as much as...
I'd put them together.
Yes.
I'd put them together, I think.
Similar,
Neither of them were big, were tall were players. Big,
yes, that's right.
Neither of them, they were short. And that was probably their major problem.
Yes. And hooker, Saladieli Naviliwasa, would you rank him as, or Antonio Radhika?
Radhika.
Okay.
I was busy trying to think who's the other one that's around
Yes,
Radhika. Radhika is, he could rake that one back from almost anywhere.
Yes.
Gave us a lot of good ball.
Yes, he certainly did.
And, yes, he did.
He was. He lasted a very long time.
He played over a decade. He was around for a longer time than many.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Graham, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure for me today and an honour to interview you. As I say, your voice is more famous than the person himself, I think. You mentioned when you walked down the street, people don't know who you are until they hear you speak and they say, oh, there's Graham Eden, which is amazing.
It's still there.
Yes.
It's still there. I'm just recently going down the back of MH's and then there. Well, I mean, how do you put up with that? It's adulation, I guess,
yes.
and by and large, I think I've been extremely lucky at having had the chances that I have had, and it's been a joy to meet lots of those people who wanted to come over and shake your hand.
Yes, thank you very much, and all the best. Very nice to meet you today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. The Table of Rugby Podcast.